Welcome to Your Prayer Intentions with author Peter and Jimmy. And we welcome your prayers at WQPHradio.org.
Oh Mary, send my prayers to heaven. Don't let another day go by. You can ask the Lord to help me. When my cross gets heavy and my soul is dry, oh Jesus, hear my cry. Oh Mary, send my prayers to the sky, along with all of my intentions, every word takes flight.
Hello and welcome to your prayer intentions for the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we've got one of the bigger gospels. We're going to go to it right away. And I do want to mention that right now, as you're listening to this, I'm at the Catholic Men's Conference in Worcester. And we'll have a lot of new prayer intentions from that conference and a lot of interviews from that starting next week or so. Although next week, because the Passion will be the gospel, I'll be playing that clip that I told you about from the WQPH event about why the great saints considered themselves great sinners. So I've been promising you that for a while. You're going to get it next week. And then after that, you'll start hearing some interviews from me again that I did down at the Catholic Men's Conference. For all I know, there'll be dozens, or there could just be a few, but we'll see what happens, because I'm, of course, recording this before the Men's Conference. But let's get straight to the gospel, because, as I said, this is a long one. John chapter 11. Now, a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back into Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him." So his disciples said to him, "Master, if he's asleep, then he'll be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will arise." Martha said to him, "I know he will arise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she said this, she went to and called her sister Mary, secretly saying, "The teacher is here and asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. But Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews were with her in the house comforting her, saw Mary get up and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? She said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. Now, I want to point out a couple of things here from this gospel. And I want to point out a bugaboo that I've mentioned before. It's not with the gospel. For those of you who follow the TV show The Chosen, they made a big thing about Lazarus and Thomas being shocked about Lazarus being raised and his, you know, intended, who is not biblical, not being raised. But this marks the third time that Jesus has raised someone from the dead. There was Jairus' daughter, but that was only with Peter, John, and James there, James the elder, and of course Jairus and his wife. So that wasn't done publicly. But in the Gospel of Luke, there was a funeral procession in the town of Nain, and Jesus raises the son of the widow of Nain while his body is being carried in procession, and his disciples were there. So for the disciples and for the public in general, there had been reports of him raising the dead. And remember when the messengers of John came to ask, you know, are you the Messiah or should we wait someone? In the list of things that have happened, he mentions raising the dead. Well, it's extraordinary, obviously, but it's not something that Jesus has not done or has not proclaimed doing in public before. Second note I want to make, again, for those who follow The Chosen, is that notice that it mentions that Mary had, you know, anointed the Lord and cleaned his stuff with her hair before this point. So they reverse it in the TV show, which is why the disclaimer before the first episode, consult the Gospels, should be followed at all times. But I want to notice something that that Martha says. Because Mary gets a lot of credit in here, in the Gospel, more than Martha. But notice what Martha says. You know, he would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now, she doesn't explicitly ask for her to raise him from the dead, but whatever you say from God, God will do it. I believe, I trust you. So that's the faith. She has faith that he could do this, even though when she says, oh, your brother will rise, he says, oh, yeah, he'll rise on the last day, and Jesus corrects him. But notice that Jesus doesn't, at that point, raise Lazarus. He waits for Mary and for the people who come with her. And that's sort of like the difference between a concert in a small town and the main event. It's like in the old wrestling days, in the old days of wrestling back in the 70s. You'd have small events in smaller cities, and the big event would be in Madison Square Garden. You'd have title changes there because that's where the big crowd was. And Jesus is basically holding off for the crowd for the title event. These are people from Jerusalem. These are people that would have come from the city, the primary place. Now, they've heard about the blind man who's been healed. And, you know, it's referenced specifically here from last week's gospel. The crowds are talking about, oh, what are this, what are that. So this is the people, or these are the folks in the city. And he waits for them to be there. And notice what he says in his prayer to the Father. I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe you sent me. This is a miracle that's done specifically for the crowd to see it. Specifically for the crowd to say, hey, this is going on. This is what's happening. This is the real thing. Of all the miracles he does, this is the miracle most meant to be a public spectacle in order to get people talking. And if you read in John later, you'll see the high priest talking about, you know, the prophet, you're misunderstanding this. I've had a prophecy from God that one man will die to save the nation. And you'll hear them talking about, we need to kill Lazarus because, you know, if he's dead, then they can't be saying this. But again, this is the miracle, the big miracle that is done for effect. Now, there's also one other thing I want to mention here. He doesn't bring back Lazarus forever. Lazarus will eventually die. Like Martha and Mary and all the disciples. Some of them violent, some of them not. We do not know the circumstances of Lazarus' second death. We know nothing about it. But we know what happened. We don't have anything in Scripture that says that he lived forever, at least on earth. I mean, granted, you know, in heaven, that's a different story. But the point of that story is that even with this miracle, and a lot of times, people will say, well, why didn't God save this person? Why didn't God save that person? Let me remind everybody here, and this is something I've said before, but it's worth saying again. Everyone who is listening to this show is going to die. I'm going to die. Do we know when? Probably not. But if you want to bet on dying, you know, you can bet your bottom dollar that you're going to die. That's why I always joke, the one wish that all, if you wish someone dead, that's the one wish that you know that'll come true, but you just don't know when. But the point I'm making is that Jesus does this thing, not because of a question, he's going to preserve you forever, not because of all these other things, but Jesus does things to teach, to show people, this is the real thing. You need to be listening to me. I have no one story of a person I knew who was having a horrible pain and asked for it to be taken away. And it was taken away for one day. Just so you know, and it came back the next, we said, and it was basically, just so you know, I'm there. I've decided you're going to have this, but I'll give you a day. All of this stuff that Jesus has done, all of the miracles, all of everything, is to try and convince people to follow him, to walk away from the wrong path. Do not think because Jesus does these things for you, do not think that because God answers a prayer, that you will never have pain, that you will never have sorrow, that you will never have this. Lazarus' tomb is going to be used again, and Lazarus is going to be in it, assuming he didn't move. But the point is that remember what it's all about. And it's all about finding the Lord. Now let's get to our prayer requests. We have our standing prayer requests for Mary, who is soon to be moving, by the way, for the soul of Nancy, for the soul of Jim, for Jake, for the two Marianne's. And I just heard from the Marianne in New York. She's still alive, but, you know, still not well. She was back in the hospital again. To the local priests, to the donors of WQPH, and we are so grateful for you. for Roland, who will soon be moving as well. And from our prayer wall at WQPHradio.org/prayer wall, we have two items that are still up from last week. Asking for intercession and comfort for a coworker named Valerie, who's a skilled electronic technician working in the electronics department for 10 years, knows more about alarm systems. And he goes on about some mechanisms that is, and some details concerning it. I'm not going to repeat all the details, but we will pray for Valerie. And we have a second prayer request for a worker in the Fulton County government in Georgia who needs God to act. And I commented on that prayer request again, but we're going to include that in our prayer requests today. I'm going to put a personal prayer request in there. As you know, I'll be losing my job shortly, and my son is also looking for work, so I'm going to pray for both of us to find work. And I'm going to pray for us in the country that we may be able to weather the storms that we're going through right now, as those are very important things to deal with. Now, because Lazarus is being resurrected here, we're going to do the first glorious mystery, because Lazarus' resurrection is, of course, a preview of Christ's resurrection. So today, we are going to do the first glorious mystery. Might be a little early, but we're going to do it anyways. And we're going to do it in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first glorious mystery is the resurrection. We offer thee, Lord Jesus, the 16th decade, and all thy glorious resurrection from the dead. And we ask of thee, through this mystery, and through the intercession of thy Holy Mother, love of God and fervor in your service. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls into heaven, especially those who are most in need of thy mercy. May the grace and mystery of the resurrection come down to our souls. Amen. And now for those of you doing the indulgence calendar, we are going to pray for the intentions of the Holy Father and for the intentions of anyone who did not get a prayer request to me in time. Glory be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of death. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my own family. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke, and we humbly pray, and do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And we pray all of these prayers as we pray all of our prayers in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I want people to think about when you do the Passion this week. You know, Holy Week is coming up now. Think carefully about what might be undone, what you might not have gotten done in Lent that you wanted to get done. This is your chance to do it. Do not let something be undone for Lent that you meant to do, that you said, I'm going to get done. Keep that in mind. And now the closing prayer, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God of mercy, as we reach out to those seeking you, send forth your Holy Spirit upon this show, upon this station, upon all the stations carrying this show, and upon all the WQPH shows, to renew us in faith. Enable us to share the good news of the gospel with loving words and caring deeds, so that those who have drifted away may be drawn to your church and follow the way of your Son, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the light. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we pray this as we pray all things, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I want to remind you, as Holy Week is getting closer, now is the time, if you have any unfinished business from Lent, to take care of it. Anything you wanted to do, any special devotion, get it done now before Holy Week begins. Holy Week, remember, next week, after Palm Sunday, will be the start of the Divine Mercy Novena. But if you have anything that's undone, take care of it now. From all of us here, goodbye and God bless from your prayer intentions. Our job is to get ourselves to heaven and to take as many people as we can with us. That is why there is a WQPH.
Please consider being a sponsor or an underwriter for these broadcasts. Visit WQPHradio.org or contact Marianne at 617-459-8735. 617-459-8735.
Hi, my name's Christine McWilliams. I live in Leominster, and I love listening to WQPH Radio.
Sister Deirdre Byrne was featured on WQPH last year, and last year she also conducted a commencement speech for Benedictine College in Kansas. Here's an important excerpt.
To begin to live the plan, I'm going to leave you my special things that I've learned through the years. It's a postgraduate survival guide. 1, go to church. God gives you 168 hours in a week. He asked for only one back. The other hours are God's gift to you. This 1 hour is your gift to God. He won't force you to listen or to love him, but don't be stingy. 2, travel. The world is a wonderful place. You learn more about yourself when you learn more about others. Your experience in college was about making your world bigger, not smaller. So see the world. When you experience other cultures, you will realize how blessed you are and how generous we are as Americans. 3, speaking of generosity, tithe your talents. Give back to those who are not as blessed to receive the two greatest gifts offered you here at Benedictine College, your education and your faith. These two crucial elements put you on the tip top of the large world pyramid. So volunteer at a soup kitchen or join 40 Days for Life to pray for the end of abortion, or even consider going on an overseas mission for a week, month, or year. 4, obtain spiritual LASIK surgery. That is the ability to see as Christ sees. Confession in the Eucharist keeps those spiritual lens clean and is our shield and our armor to fight against temptation. We become like stained glass windows that reflect in the most brilliant ways Jesus, his love to so many through us. When they're not pure or the lens are cloudy, it's difficult to tell to see if our interior is clear, cluttered, or empty. And just as a side note, we could not do this confession Eucharist without holy families supporting holy priests, which then would give us the Eucharist. So I want to just take this time to thank all our holy families who have children who have gone into the religious life, priesthood, brothers or sisters. thank you for our priests for their persona Christi, and I just my youngest brother's a priest, and he's the pride and joy of our family, so. 5, stay well read on issues important to you in your faith, but always read and learn about with a discerning heart. Not only put Christ in the center of your lives, your friendships and relationships, but keep him there. So social media is a powerful tool that can be used for good, but you must use it prudently. Think with each post, Instagram or Facebook message, would Jesus, Mary, and Joseph give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down? 6, if you're searching for Mr. or Mrs. Wright, work on first becoming Mr. and Miss Wright first. Life's not easy, but putting Christ in the center will help ease any burdens you may be experiencing. And lastly, always call on your mother. Remember, you not only have parents that love you, but you are spiritual children of our Blessed Mother. So invite her too to be with you daily. Carry a rosary in your pocket to remind you of your family roots. Catherine de Horek Doherty reminds us that our Blessed Mother's life was a fiat to God's divine will, and she will teach you like no one can, faith in her son, perseverance, and chastity, which leads you to a pure heart. And Mother Teresa used to always say when she held the rosary, she was holding the hands of our Blessed Mother. So although you're leaving your Catholic home of Benedictine College on a new and exciting chapter of your life, make Saint Benedict proud of you to be a son and daughter of this outstanding college. So don't just live God's plan. And remember, as mentioned earlier, you're not only pro-life warriors, but you're pro-eternal life. And your mission really ultimately is to help bring souls to Christ for eternity. So Christus in Christos, may we grow in Christ. Thank you for listening and congratulations once again.
This is Peter and Jemmy, host of Your Prayer Intentions, every Saturday here on 89.3 WQPH Shirley Fitchburg. Do you have a prayer request that you'd like me to pray for, or perhaps the whole community? Well, include that prayer request in an email. Specify if you want it on air or off, and email that prayer request to WQPH893@comcast.net. Let me repeat that. It's WQPH893@comcast.net, and we will pray for you. If you have an urgent request that you're looking for immediate prayer, tweet me directly at the Tech Guy Blog on Twitter or the Tech Guy Blog on Gab. God bless you.